We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul and Jordana, hope your Thursday is going well.
It's great. It's not snowing. It's fantastic.
Sun is out. It's 72. Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
At least for now. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned about a buddy of mine, high school buddy. I've known this guy for 45 years, a good friend, really one of a handful of dear friends that I would tell anything. And he has had a rough time of it in the last year. He has lost his wife. He has lost his job.
Lost his wife to divorce.
To divorce, yes. Mm-hmm. And he admitted that he has an addiction to sex. Mm-hmm. Went through treatment. He's had a very tough time of it, which got us thinking about the topic and wanting to find a local expert. And we found the local expert. Dr. Mark Laser is founder of Faithful and True, which is a Christian counseling center in Eden Prairie. It specializes in the treatment of sexual addiction for men, support for their spouses, and guidance for couples who've experienced relational betrayal. And Dr. Laser, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. I've been looking forward to it all day.
Well, thank you. And we had a nice chat this morning. I wanted to talk a little bit with Mark. You speak from experience, correct?
That is right. I am a recovering addict myself. I went to the very first treatment center for sexual addiction was here in Minnesota, and that was at the old Golden Valley Health Center there. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Patrick Carnes, the founder of our field, who is a Minnesotan, started it. And so I've been sober since March 17th, 1987. And and then I worked with Dr. Carnes for 4 years at that hospital before they shut it down. So that's how God kind of led me into the field.
Dr. Laser, it's Jordana.
Yeah, hi, Jordana.
Yeah, and I'm grateful that you're here because I think we have a lot of questions about this. When I hear something like sex addiction, how do we define that and how do we quantify that? Because there are people who love sex.
Yeah.
How does it become an addiction? And is it a real addiction like, and I mean no disrespect, I'm just trying to get some information. Is it a real addiction like an alcoholism or a drug addiction?
Well, it has some differences to alcoholism because with alcoholism, you can stop completely, but with sexual addiction, if you're married, you can't stop completely. But the basic definition, I think sometimes we try to make these things more complicated, but I think the basic definition is addiction is about trying to stop something that you're not able to stop. So, you know, if you've made attempts to stop some sexual behavior and haven't been able to do that, another thing would be if it escalates over time, if it gets worse over time, you know, then we think we'd be looking at a pretty full-blown addiction.
There seems to be there's a proliferation of porn. It seems like it's everywhere.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And is that cheating? I mean, if you're in a relationship, in marriage, you have a significant other, and you look at that, does that fit the definition of cheating? Why is it bad?
Well, you know, again, and you and I were talking about this morning, I come at it from a faith perspective, so Jesus in Matthew 5 talked about the fact when you so much as look after another woman with lust in your heart, you commit adultery. We also know scientifically that looking at pornography leads to pornography-induced erectile dysfunction. You know, so there's a variety of reasons why pornography, I think, can be destructive to a marriage and certainly to a couple's sexual relationship.
I think if somebody's listening to this right now, they might be confused whether or not they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Before you were talking about behaviors that you can't stop. But mm-hmm. sex is a behavior that takes generally two people.
Right.
So, I mean, right? If you're having intercourse, it takes two people.
Unless we're talking about masturbation, and I guess we can use the M word on the air.
Right. That's a little, and we could say masturbation. But when you're talking about a sex addiction, you need another person to be willing. Are you when you talk about addiction, does it mean that you're going outside of your marriage? Does it mean that you're forcing somebody to have sex with you? If somebody at home is going to have a takeaway from this and they say they might have a problem, what does that look like?
Well, we certainly have a case going on right now where the husband has literally emotionally beat up his wife their entire marriage to be sexual. So I think, you know, there are examples of, you know, basically a marital almost rape, you know, in that situation. But I do think that it takes two people, and there is such a thing, believe it or not, as what we call marital sexual addiction, which means that the couple is engaging in sex. But, you know, one of the definitions of addiction is it's using sexual arousal to escape emotions. So if a couple is escaping emotions by being sexual and not being intimate with each other spiritually and emotionally, we generally think that could fit the criteria for addiction also.
Doctor, you talked about entitlement, and I was fascinated to hear about that. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, entitlement is any excuse you use, really, that justifies why, you know, you can go out and do these things, including, you know, having affairs or whatever. But it's basically the fact that, you know, my wife is not willing, my wife is not available, for even if it's for good reasons, you know, and so forth. That justifies me to go ahead and, you know, take care of myself, masturbate, or look at pornography, do whatever I do.
And again, obviously, when you're looking at porn, I mean, this gets into objectification, dehumanization.
Exactly. That's right.
And you're ultimately not growing closer as a couple. Is there any evidence that consuming porn increases the odds of having an affair or having, you know, problems that can lead to, you know, separation or divorce?
Well, if it's truly addiction, it really doesn't always, you know, just stay at a certain level. So if you're looking at porn and, you know, you're getting on the social media sites, it's not that far of a jump to, you know, escalate into making connections and then eventually having across the flesh line experiences.
How does the rehabilitation work? If you say you have to, again, I'm these are sensitive questions, so please forgive me if I'm saying something disrespectful. I mean no disrespect.
Not at all.
You know, you say you have to go to rehab, and we know famous people like Tiger Woods or celebrities, you know, say they were addicted to sex and they have to go to rehab.
Right.
Sure, in rehab you can be abstinent, but as you mentioned, you can't be well, if you're in a marriage, you have a sexual contract, so you're not abstinent your whole life. So how does that work? What are you learning
is
in rehab?
Is it coping skills? I mean, your approach is spirit-based, right, Christian-based approach to this, that you need supernatural help at the end of the day.
Well, that's right, and you know, I think we don't think everybody needs to go to rehab or an inpatient program. I mean, we think there's the average person can recover by getting counseling, by going to support groups, and that kind of thing. By the way, we are celebrating Tiger. Tiger went to the same treatment program down in Mississippi with Dr. Carnes that I was a part of back in 1987.
Really?
So the only thing Tiger and I have in common. Is that we both went to a Pat Carnes program. But, there, you know, it's accountability. It involves accountability, having a community of men or women around you that is encouraging you and reminding you of your new commitments. And so it really involves going to support groups. There's also deep-seated wounds that you've been medicating for generally a long time. So we generally like people to get counseling about healing those. And it's an ongoing journey. You know, it's, you know, I've been sober 32 years, but I don't think that necessarily, you know, the journey is over because I'm still, you know, an adult male living in a sexually saturated culture.
You talk about sexual sobriety. I'm curious, too. You had some stats that really set me back in terms of how pervasive. Is it really one out of two men, not necessarily addicted, but somehow engaging in this?
Well, the Nielsen ratings are quite indicative. I mean, I do think that, you know, for instance, Jordana, one of the things Paul and I were talking about is that the Nielsen ratings lately have indicated that 40% of all visits to pornographic websites are now by women.
Wow.
So the other 60% are by men. And, yeah, I think it's a fairly common thing. We say in the average church, Christian church, and, this, you know, I have rabbi friends, so, I mean, the average synagogue, I think you could also say, the amount of men that are looking at pornography last week would be about 60%.
And again, the proliferation among younger people, I mean, on phones, it's just, it's off the charts, right?
Yeah, that's what Paul and I were talking about too, Jordana, that you have children right in that.
Yes, I do.
That age range where, you know, the cell phone is the number one source of pornography and has been for a number of years. And the average amount of time that the kids in the age of yours, Jordana, spend on the cell phone is about 9 to 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And the pornographers are generally out there, you know, with pop-ups and every kind of thing. So even if the kids are not intentionally looking for it, you know, stuff is going to pop up for them. But, you know, we're seeing an epidemic of children. One of the things we were talking about is the number of girls that send naked pictures of themselves, you know, to boys, just unsolicited. And, you know, it's just an epidemic.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Laser. He is the founder of Faithful and True. Our topic today is sex addiction. Dr. Laser, is pornography always bad? Is there a place for pornography in our society?
Well, you know, again, I kind of come at it from a faith-based perspective. I just really don't think so. I mean, there's the old argument that we need to kind of watch a little bit to spice up our marriage or something like that. And I think it's objectifying it. You know, the stuff we watch is objectifying. I think the greatest thing that we try to teach our couples of all faiths is, you know, spiritually connect with each other, and sex should be an expression of that. And that's what's really enhancing of, I think, mature, deep, and a higher level sexuality.
And you mentioned something to me this morning on the phone. You said that if you're engaged in pornography, by definition, over time, you're going to lose interest in your spouse.
That's right. By definition, you would. That's right.
6-5.
All kind of
go
pictures
ahead.
And you're putting all kind of pictures in your brain. And so, in other words, one of my boundaries that has been for the last 32 years is I'm not going to engage in sexuality with my wife if my brain cannot be in the room. So, you know, for the first 15 years of my marriage, my brain was not in the room. My brain was in with all the pornographic images I had seen or all the other sexual encounters that I'd had. So I had to learn in recovery to only be present with her, and I will not be sexual if I can't honestly say that my brain is in the room.
Wow.
That's an interesting
gut check.
Never
heard it put that way, but yeah, that makes...
Is your brain in the room?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right.
651-989-9226. If you have a question or a concern for Dr. Mark Laser, we want to hear from you. 651-989-9226. We'll be back with more next.
Jordana and Paul here. We're talking with Dr. Mark Laser. He is the founder of Faithful and True. He is an expert in sex addiction. That's what he specializes in as a therapist. And we're talking about his personal experience and possibly yours. Doc, I had another question.
Sure.
It was about when somebody opts out in a marriage or in a relationship and they just say, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm done having sex.
Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to do this anymore. And that's what happened to Paul's friend. That's why we're talking about this. What are the options then?
Well, you know, certainly I want to assume that at some level that couple would be able to get some kind of counseling and support. Mm-hmm. But assuming they don't, you know, I think that, you know, again, based on my definitions, if Debbie and I never had sex again, that would be fine because the more important parts of our relationship are the emotional friendship and the spiritual connection.
Okay, so then another kind of a follow-up to that is, what if somebody is physically unable? You know, sometimes men have a surgery or a problem that they're not able to perform. Or, you know, after menopause, a lot of women, it's very painful. So how do you work around that?
Well, I guess it's my same answer that, you know, the couple needs to talk about it. I mean, depending on the situation, if they want to engage in some form of mutual masturbation or something like that, I don't have a problem with that. By the way, Jordan, I was going to say that the first example of sexual intercourse in the scriptures is Genesis 4:1, and the most important term there is that Adam knew Eve, and the Hebrew word there is yada, and yada means to know each other spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So I do think, as far as a coupleship, the two most important things are having that spiritual and emotional connection.
And the physical is the icing on the cake.
That's exactly right. It's an expression of the first two. You know, most of us get the order of priority wrong. You know, we're saying as long as our sexual relationship is okay, we're okay. Well, that's not true. There's so much deeper intimacy that all coupleships should experience.
curious, how do you, without going into detail, which obviously we can't do in the next 2 minutes, but how do you rewire our brains so that, you know, this isn't as big an issue in our lives when it comes to pornography, what have you? I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And neuroscience has taught us lots of things in the last 20, 25, 30 years. And that is the brain can be rewired. You know, it can be reshaped. It can be reformed. You don't have to exist with the existing connections. I believe, and I do have lots of stories about this, but over time I have reshaped my brain such that I don't get triggered or I don't lust in the same way that the average young person does. And that's just a part of my spiritual disciplines, my emotional disciplines, and my relational disciplines. And in other words, we can have the brain we want to have. Paul was right when he taught that we can transform our mind. So
that's fascinating. It sounds hard. It sounds like a lot of spiritual work there, Dr. Laser. And I mean, I'm sure that we've touched a nerve with some of the people.
I want to mention, too, you've written 18 books. What's the latest book that you wrote, Doctor?
It's called The Fight of Your Life, and I co-wrote it with Dr. Tim Clinton. So that's the latest book. And then my first book is still in print, called Healing the Wounds of Sexual Addiction. And so those are two resources. It's been out there for 25 years, actually.
Well, if this is a concern, any one of our listeners, faithfulandtrue.com, faithfulandtrue.com. And I know you have an office in Eden Prairie. You're local. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you really have an international outreach. And we sure appreciate you taking some time to answer our questions today, and wish you the very best going forward. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, call us about some of these famous cases. I've worked with a lot of rich and famous. So,
can you say names?
No.
No,
oh, okay.
Of course
all right.
Not.
All right.
A doctor would he be if he was giving names? Come
had
on.
To ask.
I'm just saying that, you know, some of these cases as they come up, if you ever want to.
We absolutely will, Doc. We certainly will.
I look forward to it. You guys have been great. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Mark. That's Dr. Mark Laser, founder of Faithful and True.
It's tough to talk about
these things,
but you know, this is when you're sitting around the table after a couple of glasses of wine. This is what the girls talk about. Maybe the boys talk about it. I'm not sure.
But again, our culture, right? The media, everything. Mm-hmm. We're just super saturated with sex. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of invert the pyramid where sex comes first, sex is on top. Poor choice of words. but in fact, it shouldn't be. Right?
I mean, that's what he's saying, yes.
That's what he's saying.
Some of us really value sexual relationships, too.
But you have a great relationship, mm-hmm. So you have a great foundation to build on. And
that's
good
true.
For and
emotional,
good for
spiritual,
you.
All of it. That's right. Thank you. I wish that for everybody.
Absolutely.
It's also 5:31. When we get back, football, right? Sex and football. That's a great hour, right?
Bring
that's
on the nachos and we got a party.
The NFL draft is tonight. We are going to talk to Eric Nelson and preview the draft next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Wow, from sex to football. Eric, are you sure you don't want to talk about the sex part instead of the football part?
Are we going to talk cheerleaders or what here,
Troy? No. Oh, gosh.
It was right there.
Oh, boy.
Eric Nelson is joining us. We're going to talk NFL draft tonight. Hello, sir. Where are you? You sound like you are out and about traveling.
Yeah, I'm 47 minutes away from the TCO Performance Center in Eagan. So I'm on the road headed toward the War Room, the center of the Purple Nation. So I'm all fired up.
Yeah. Is it going to be a good night for Vikings Nation?
Well, they're going to tell us it is, regardless of what happens, Paul and Jordana. That's the way it goes when there's a draft. There's only going to be one pick tonight, barring some sort of a trade, which
right.
mm-hmm. Rick Spielman has been known to do in the past. He's the Monty Hall of, you know, football guys. Let's make a deal. But basically, they're going to pick 18th if everything goes according to the way it is right now. And we'll find out. A lot of us think they've got to go offensive line, pick a stud who can go up front and be one of the bodyguards for Kirk Cousins. But you never know. If they see somebody that is so tempting, they may go that route.
But they might also trade down, collect more picks in a later round, right? Be strategic?
Absolutely. That's part of Rick Spielman's MO, at least in the past. He has made deals, and I've covered drafts where, okay, the Vikings had a pick here, and you thought, all right, they're going to make this selection, and then you're going to go home. And before you know it, they've got two picks in the same round, and everything changes. So that is clearly a possibility, Paul.
Okay.
Hey, Eric, do we have any college kids that are being looked at in the draft? Any big stars here locally?
I would say the one that's at the top of the radar is Blake Cashman from the U of M, played at Eden Prairie. And from the reports I'm getting, his stock has gone up, you know, at the Combine in Indianapolis and some of the workouts. So that would be one kid to keep an eye on. But, the Gophers haven't had a lot of kids drafted recently, and there aren't any small college gems that I know of that will probably be picked, at least not tonight, in round one.
Hey, Eric, we know that there are a few Packers fans out there who may be listening. What can we expect from the Pack tonight?
Well, that's a great question, Paul. They have a new head coach in Matt LaFleur. Mike McCarthy is gone. They have a different regime. I think they're going to probably try to upgrade their defense. Clay Matthews is no longer there.
Wow.
He's with the L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
They have not been very good the last couple of years defensively. I wouldn't be shocked if they tried to add on that side of the football. But Aaron Rodgers can always use help at wideout, so if they see some, then they may go that way. You just never know when it comes to draft night.
Eric, take us a little behind the scenes of this draft, because I know hours upon hours upon hours are spent doing mock drafts. Have you thought this through, or have you ever been in a war room where maybe an NFL senior leadership team is going through this?
You know, they don't let us in that war room, so to speak, but I've seen glimpses into it, and I've talked to people who work in the NFL. And so what you have, Paul and Jordan, is the draft is in Nashville, so the Vikings will have a contingent of people down in Tennessee. They'll also have people in Eagan at the TCO Performance Center, which is team headquarters. They've got a draft party going on at U.S. Bank Stadium. But the war room is essentially, you have a guy like Rick Spielman, you have a head coach like Mike Zimmer, you have your scouts, and, in theory, you've tapped into all that information. But I know the Oakland Raiders, who do things a little differently, they swim upstream. John Gruden locked everybody out of their war room a few days ago. He says, I don't want any secrets or anybody spilling the beans.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
They treat this like rocket science. They think they're solving the nuclear code.
Yeah, they got the football.
Yeah. Tell us about the show tonight. What do you got? I mean, I imagine it's going to be a lot of speculation, but what's up on the show?
Yeah, all hands on deck, Jordana. I know that Maxie is going to chat with Jeff Diamond, former Vikings general manager. And Jeff had a great run. He was part of that group drafted Randy Moss back in 98 with Dennis Green. So Jeff knows what it's like to be in the war room, and he had success in Tennessee with the Titans as well. Henry Lake will be part of the show at the downtown studios with Maxie. And then Stevie T and myself will be in Eagan. We'll be getting a news conference sound, providing guests, and giving our input on what we see from Eagan and what the Vikings are telling us. They're not going to leak much, but we're going to have to do some digging.
So, again, this draft special, 6:35, right here on CCO, and you're going to be a big part of that, Eric.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Like I said, I'm on my way to the TCO Performance Center, and, and sometimes we make fun of the draft, as you have alluded to, Paul. It's paralysis by analysis in some instances. I mean, it's an inexact science.
Sure.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, if all these experts knew, then how come Adam Thielen didn't get drafted? Adam Thielen is an undrafted player. John Randall never got drafted. He's in the Hall of Fame. So you don't know how it's going to go. There will be people taken tonight who have to be colossal busts, and there will be other people who I just got cut off.
Oh, be careful. Oh. Be careful, Eric.
Don't kill anyone, Eric.
I'm good. Well, it would have been his fault, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't like what I said about the draft.
Yeah, right. Might have been a Packers fan.
He's listening.
Well, hey, Paul, it was a beer truck. He had to be a Packers
fan. Okay. Thank you, Eric Nelson, for making us laugh and making us think, and we'll hope for the best for our Vikes tonight.
Stay safe.
All right, thanks. Have a great show.
Be careful, Eric. All right.
Yeah, we better get off the phone with him because he needs to focus on the road. He needs to make sure he gets there safely and not cut off any other
Packers
fans. For the
record, we're 87% sure he was driving hands-free. So yeah. even though that law is not in effect.
Yeah.
Safety sure. first here on the Big 830.
Sure hope so. In the meantime, check this out.
But sometimes life ain't always the way. Sometimes it snows in April.
Did you hear this?
Prince.
Yeah, after 3 years of legal hashing back and forth, the Prince estate is coming alive with new projects that should excite most fans, coming out with a new album, Originals, which is a collection of his original versions of songs that he wrote for other artists.
Awesome.
Jordana. This is being announced later today. It at Paisley Park. The single disc record will include Prince's take on the Bangles' Manic Monday, The Times' Jungle Love, Sheila E.'s Glamorous Life, Kenny Rogers' You're My Love,
such great songs.
Vanity Six' Sex Shooter, Martika's Love, Thy Will Be Done, and The Family's Nothing Compares to You. He's also coming out with a memoir, which is going to be published this fall, called The Beautiful Ones, Random House. Raided Prince's vault for personal photos, as well as handwritten lyrics and the treatment he wrote for the movie Purple Rain. That's due out October 29th. A reissue of 1999. A Netflix documentary about Prince is coming out. An Apple Music documentary. Again, this chronicled by John Bream at the Star Tribune. So
I want it all. Cool. I don't think we can consume enough Prince stuff. He was secret in his life, now so, of course, in his death. And I, as fans, as Minnesotans, I will consume it all. And I won't feel bad about it either. I mean, we're sad for the loss, but we just can't get enough.
His music is still very much alive, right?
That's absolutely
We celebrate
right.
his life when we listen to his music.
Absolutely right. In a few moments, Susie Jones, who has been in the Mohamed Noor trial all day. She'll be back in the studio. She will be chatting with us about an update on what happened in that courtroom. But right now, it is 5:46. That's a Wickson Jewelers time check. As your life changes, so should the story of your diamonds. Restyle and upgrade your diamond at the Diamond Event at Wickson Jewelers. Mohamed Noor testified today at his own murder trial of Justine Damond. Our own Susie Jones was in the courthouse all day. Susie, your thoughts, what happened today?
Well, it was very interesting. This is the first time we've ever heard him speak about that night. He was pretty comfortable. He was well-spoken. Started about 1 o'clock. He was taken by his defense attorney, Thomas Plunkett, through a series of questions, really laying this groundwork for who he is, that he was from Somalia on a farm and came here when the Civil War broke out and what it was like to come here and how he decided to become a police officer. Pretty extensive conversation about the training they receive, the shoot, don't shoot exercises that they go through, the being proactive rather than reactive. If you react too late, you end up dead. So really a fair amount on the training part of the academy. Then when we got back from lunch, it was right into the night of July 15, 2017.
Did he say anything that made you do a double take? Could you tell that the jurors doing a double take, anything that was unexpected in his testimony?
I don't think so. I mean, he seemed rather composed throughout most of it. He did start to cry, though, when he realized that he had killed an innocent woman. He said that his world came crushing in on him.
Did he describe the moment? Did he say there was a slap on the hood?
Mm-hmm.
Did he talk about how he reached over Harity, his partner, why Harity did not pull his gun? Did he describe that moment?
Absolutely, and it was really sort of mounting. Like Plunkett paced this really slowly, going down the alley, turning off their lights. They're responding to an unknown trouble. And what that might mean, and they turned off their lights, and they get to the end of the alley, and they stop because there's a bicyclist, and he says, I heard a loud bang on the car and saw someone, and Harity said, oh, Jesus, and he said, I saw fear in my partner's eyes. I feared for our life. He saw Harity have trouble unholstering his gun. Caught in the holster. He got up kind of out of his seat, he said, put his left arm over Harity and fired one shot. He said that he saw a blonde woman with a pink top raise her arm. And on cross-examination, the prosecutor said, did you see a gun? Nope. Did you see a phone? Nope. Did you ever see her hand? Nope. You saw a blonde woman with a light-colored top, a pink top? Yep. And you shot her. So it was pretty intense. Like I said, when he was asked, when he realized that he had shot an innocent woman, he said, my whole world came crashing down. He said he had trouble breathing. He was asked a lot about what happened after that by the prosecution, and he couldn't remember a lot of what happened right that night in different squad cars, being asked by different people about what was happening. He could remember what he ate for dinner that night. And the prosecutor said, you can remember dinner, but you can't remember what you saw, what you said, what you heard that night after the shooting. He said, I was traumatized. Mm-hmm. He kept repeating, I had to stop the threat. I had to protect my partner. So it'll be interesting. This is not over. I mean, it was all, the direct took most of the day. That means it's only the defense asking questions. And I suppose the cross-examination has been going for about an hour, but they broke at 4:30. They're very mindful of the jury. You know, they asked the jury if they could stay late tonight. They could not. So they start tomorrow at 8:30, and they'll continue to cross-examine, kind of trying to poke holes in what he has said. He had a conversation with his attorney, Mr. Plunkett, another gentleman named, I can't remember, O'Keefe, and about an incident where they had gone back in December to the crime scene and talking about what was said then and how different what was said then was just said on the stand. So there'll be a lot more poking, trying to poke holes in that story.
Was he emotional on the stand today?
Not until he cried when he talked about realizing that he'd killed an innocent woman, but he was pretty calm.
Okay. Well, thank you for an excellent recap and for making us feel like we were all in that.
Well, we're all watching.
In that room.
You know, are you going tomorrow?
No, I'm off tomorrow, God bless.
Okay.
I really need a day off.
Well, Susie, thank you for that. You really gave a great account, and thank you for covering the story so well.
Sloan will be here, so if you want her, grab her in the afternoon.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Susie. And thank you for spending some time with us today. Boy, we covered a lot, got a lot of information in there.
Kind of a wild show. We'll try it again tomorrow with a happy hour. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.